Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
My elder Carolus, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
Very well, thank you, and thank you so much for joining us, my elder. Now, we are going to be talking and continuing, by the way, that discussion on recognizing and responding, to spiritual promptings. Now, any believer may wonder why one would ever doubt God, because he's always good. He knows what is best, and following him will always be the best decision in life. But what if he's leading in areas that you may not necessarily want to go to? What if he's leading in areas that you're not comfortable with? Maybe he'll ask you to leave your good paying job to some unknown adventure with him. Maybe he can ask you to reconcile with someone that hurt you so deeply. But sometimes he asks you to go out into a storm where you believe you are going to die. What if we don't do what he actually asks? Well, Pastor, what are our options once we've recognized God's voice? Are we compelled to say yes? Over to you, my elder.
Well, yesterday we spoke about God and free will. When God created us, he created us with free will. And that takes all compelling, all forcing out of the way. So God does not force us in any way. We have two options. We can either obey him, or we can resist him. When we obey him, it leads to deeper intimacy and fruitfulness. You know, in John 14:21, God says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." So obedience and listening to and following the promptings of the Holy Spirit leads to Jesus revealing himself more fully to us. And the more we view him and the more he is manifested to us, the more we can become like him. However, if we do choose to resist, we read in Hebrews 3:15, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." So the hardening of hearts takes us back to someone like Pharaoh, where God constantly spoke to him. He did not cooperate, and therefore his heart was hardened. So what that means is that when we repeatedly resist, it leads us to spiritual dullness and rebellion. So the Holy Spirit is gentle, as we saw yesterday, the still, small voice. But he's also persistent, and we can thank God that he is persistent. He speaks in love, but it never overrides our free will. So yes, we do have the option of saying no.
Is that option to say no? I mean, I'm thinking of Jonah, who was sent to Nineveh, ended up in Tarshish, and God said, "No, you are actually going to go where I'm sending you." So that's one example where God sent someone, and someone didn't want to go, and God said, "No, you will go. I will even send a fish to basically take you that direction." Doesn't look like God can take a no for an answer.
Well, it depends on how we look at that story. You could look at it in the way that your question is framed. But Jonah did have the option of saying no. And we know that because he actually did say no. It did come at a great personal cost. And this is the thing for us as Christians. Faith is knowing that, is believing that God knows best. That the one who created us knows what truly makes us happy. That the one who created us knows what our true identity is. And he says he has created us for his glory. And so he knows that when that purpose, when that identity, living for his glory, when it is frustrated, then we are frustrated. We are then not able to live out what we have been made for. And so we become unhappy. And that's why when you look at a text like the Beatitudes, it's about being blessed if we do these things, it's about being happy. If we follow those promptings, you know, to be humble, to be peacemakers, and so forth. So instead of looking at it as though God is making every is doing everything to get his way, we could look at it as God pursuing him, taking no for an answer, but giving him another chance, not by force, but with persistent grace. And that is grace. You know, Jonah left in verse chapter 1, he left the presence of the Lord. But then the Lord prepares a great fish. In other words, you know, when we choose to do wrong, when we choose to resist the promptings of the Spirit, when we choose not to keep God's commandments, there are logical results of that. And the logical result of being without God for Jonah was a great storm had arose. So that storm would have probably been there. But when we follow God, then God actually overrides at times the elements of nature. And protects us. We are then under his protection because of the decisions we made. You know, God in the beginning in Deuteronomy, he says through his servant Moses, he says, there are two roads. You can either choose life or you can choose death. You choose this road, this is where it will end. You choose that road, that's where it will end. And so what we find is that what we sometimes deem as punishments from God is rather just the logical flow and the result and trajectory of the decisions we make. And so we find that God sends the fish in mercy, and God allows the storm to come in mercy to Jonah. And it's because of God's grace, so that Jonah has another opportunity to go and live out his purpose for which he was called and created. So God's purpose prevailed not through coercion, but through merciful intervention, second chances. And we can thank God that he's a God of second chances.
Yeah, he is a God of second chances indeed. Now, what are some reasons that professed Christians might be inclined to say no to God's voice?
Well, there may be a few reasons that I can think of. Reasons like fear of the unknown, perhaps, comfort or getting out of a comfort zone. It could be pride, selfish ambition. But all of this boils down to one thing. And Romans chapter 14 tells us that whatever is whatever does not it is not done out of faith, it is sin. So the bottom line, I believe, is when we say no to God's voice, is because we do not trust him. If you think of Adam was at a decision that he needed to make after Eve had sinned. And because of his distrust in God, the same God who was with him before there was an Eve, the same God who gave him Eve, he now distrusted instead of believing that God can give that which we sometimes have to lose. I'm thinking even of the rich young ruler. The Bible says in Mark 10, verse 22, that he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. So even, and perhaps he was thinking that even if he has to give up all these riches, what he has been taught, that the riches are a blessing of God, it shows God's approval on your life. So he might have thought that if he doesn't have these riches, he no longer has approval. So in the case of the rich young ruler, we could even argue that the reason why he said no to Jesus was because of the way he had been brought up. You know, sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit prompts us to do things that we have thought all our lives have been the wrong thing to do, while it is actually the biblical thing to do. But because of how we have grown up, because of our tradition, because of how we cherish our education, for instance. Because of that, we sometimes say no and choose to not follow God's voice. But the short answer to the question would be a lack of faith in God. That is why we say no. Because if we trust Him and believe that what He has for us is more than what we can think or imagine, if we follow Him, then surely the reason would be distrust, because we don't really believe that He can take us from what may be a comfort zone to us to something even better than our current situation.
Does God increase the pressure if we refuse to, you know, respond to His promptings? I'm thinking about Pharaoh here and the plagues on the Egyptians.
Yeah. So God may allow certain consequences to escalate. You know, He might, but it's never out of vengeance. It is always to call us to repentance and to give us an opportunity to align with His will again. When you look at Exodus and Pharaoh's situation, he hardened his heart even through these multiple plagues. Every time his heart became more hardened after seeing that God is powerful and that it's best to follow. Each of the plagues were increasing in its intensity, yet God gave repeated chances for repentance. And so when things do happen in our lives, God revealed His goodness to us. And Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Refusing God's voice repeatedly can lead to irreversible consequences. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So the reason why God so persistently pursues us, why grace is so persistent and why it's so pursuing, is to give us all these chances to not get to a point where we are so hardened, where we can no longer recognize His voice. You know, and I want to say this also, that merely knowing what is God's, knowing the truth or knowing God's will for our life does not mean that we are saved. We may be convicted. And that's where that word conviction comes in again with regard to promptings. We may be convicted, but that does not mean we are necessarily converted. You know, I think of the man in Romans 7. He knows that the law is good. He knows God's way is good. He knows that God's way is holy. But he finds himself still not doing what God says. And he finds himself doing what God does not say. You know, and what does it lead to? Paul then exclaims, in that position, he is wretched and he needs deliverance. And so God then allows certain things to happen in our lives. He allows it to get to a point where, like the prodigal son, we end up there with the swine, even wanting to eat the food of the swine. But it's at those moments that God allows us to think back to how He has led us before. It is at those moments we think that the Father is actually a good Father, so good that when He gives food, His servants eat and they have to spare. And it's those moments that God then capitalizes on, you know, to pursue us again and to allow us to see His goodness as opposed to where we end up sometimes. So the more we submit, the clearer His voice becomes. But the resistance brings dire consequences. However, God, even through that, will bring us to a point where we are again faced to make a decision. And then when we surrender, He reveals His goodness and His will to us.
Well, I must thank you so much, my elder, for coming through. A beautiful, beautiful conversation indeed. It is a God who always gives us chances and a God who can accept if we want to go the other way, because he's not a God who's adamant only on his thoughts. Well, thank you so much for that, my elder. Beautiful. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, same time and same place.
It has been a pleasure, and may God continue to bless you, the radio station, and the listeners.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.